It's been a long time coming, but I know a change gonna come. Oh, yes it will. I go to the moon.
You are going to be the change that has to come. We are going to take our democracy back from the billionaire class, because I've had just about enough of rich folks wagging their finger in my face. I don't know. How about you? Including that rich guy that's the president right now. No, thank you. I'm over it. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. In case you missed, my first fun fact of the Donald Trump inauguration, the net worth of the billionaires sitting with Donald Trump's family ahead of the cabinet, ahead of all the congresspeople, ahead of all the governors, sitting with his family at the inauguration, has a net worth somewhere north of $11 trillion, maybe $12 trillion, depends on when you total it all up. Whereas the bottom 95% of us, it's not even the bottom 95, like 95% of Americans have a total net worth of around 3.6 to 3.8 trillion. So there was more wealth on that stage standing behind Donald Trump than there was amongst every single person that voted for him, every single person that voted for Kamala Harris, and all the folks that stayed home. That's where we are as a democracy. And I was just taught we're going to go to the phones, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. And I want to acknowledge, really hard for some folks to listen to this stuff from Donald Trump. I hear you. But it's important for us to listen, to acknowledge what he is saying, and then to rebut it and to fight against it if it's not what we believe in. One of the things that he said today on the day that our nation celebrates the incredible legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King and every single person, black and white, who has fought to truly fulfill the promise that America is for each and every one of us. He talked about, it was a vague reference, but to those that know, you know, about, hey, we need to make sure that none of our students ever feel ashamed in school. As if learning history, the accurate history, somehow would attach shame to young people. And even if I accept that it did for a moment, here's what I think is shameful: to deprive our children of the full complex history of the United States, to render them ignorant by omission, to say to black and brown kids that an accurate recounting of our country's founding, the necessary input of enslaving people to create the United States, to fund our country, to omit that, that's shameful. To not teach black and white kids and brown kids and all children in our schools of the incredible contributions of Latinos and Hispanics and gay folks and women folk and black and brown folk, that is shameful. History isn't taught through omission. It needs to be taught in its completeness, in its complexity, the good and the bad. What ashames me is that we would rather choose ignorance than to confront our past accurately and humbly and vow to do better, always better, for you and me and for our children. Here were the two moments in this speech for me from Donald Trump. His hat tip to black and brown communities and Hispanics. This is cut 1J. If Cardi, if you've got it, he's taking a call right now. We'll get there in just a second. Because to me, it doesn't work. It's so complicated. So I want to take these two cuts, these two sounds, and we're going to go to the phones and the text lines, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. So Cardi, we're going to do, 1J, and then we're going to go ahead and take the cut 14 as well. So let's take a listen.
To the black and Hispanic communities, I want to thank you for the tremendous outpouring of love and trust that you have shown me with your vote. We set records, and I will not forget it. I've heard your voices in the campaign, and I look forward to working with you in the years to come. Today is Martin Luther King Day, and his honor, this will be a great honor, but in his honor, we will strive together to make his dream a reality. We will make his dream come true. This week, I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life.
So I'm just going to wrap that right there. To talk about this great honor, he's talking about himself, right, on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. It's not social engineering to talk about disparities. It's not social engineering to talk about the completeness of American history, of world history. That's not social engineering to try to have some sensitivity to one another and our different lived experiences isn't social engineering. It's called kindness and respect and knowledge, full knowledge. And then this cut. You did it. The eliminating the socially engineered. Unbelievable. Do you have the portion, Cardi, where, and we can listen to it again if we need to, where he goes on to talk about colorblindness, because that was really
Yes,
something.
I do.
All right, let's listen again, and we're going to go to the phones.
So it'll be 14 and 15, the end of it. I'll play it back.
This week, okay. I will also end the government policy of trying to socially engineer race and gender into every aspect of public and private life. We will forge a society that is colorblind and merit-based.
And we can wrap that up right there.
It will henceforth be the official policy of the United States government that there are only two genders, male and female.
So let's, if we can, let's wrap that up. I just have to say this. The idea that a president would get up there and talk about colorblindness. I don't know. Do you have a vision impairment, Donald Trump? That's ridiculous. It's offensive. And the reason that I emphasize it is one, just the disgust that it conjures up as he sort of drapes himself in the cloak of Martin Luther King. But the coupling of colorblindness and there's only two genders and this idea of, oh, we're going to return to this country based on merit. Give me a freaking break. If this was a country based on merit, then the woman who was born of two immigrants, worked her tail off, became an elected district attorney in San Francisco, always had only one client, the people, became a senator and then a vice president, always in service, spent every minute of her professional career in service to the people, then that merit would be acknowledged. We've got to finally get to a place where being white isn't considered in and of itself to be meritorious, to be male, to be cisgendered and heteronormative. Those aren't meritorious character traits. They deserve no more privilege than any other identity character. Hi, Joe from Madison. You're on the air. What do you have to say this afternoon?
First of all, thank you for the sum up, and I think this is something that we should return to again and again, which is that Trump was there at his inauguration with his family, which is his family, Mr. Musk, his family, Mr. Zuckerberg, his family. That was his family. And that really we need to return to that, that was the optic that they set up by having those people in the front row. They weren't three rows down. They were in the front row. They couldn't have made him. He couldn't have made a more obvious statement about who he cares about. And I think that you can see that, you know, when you talked about the fact that some of his supporters were left high and dry outside This is from a man who said during the campaign, I don't like you, I just want your vote. He's got their vote and he can blow them off at this point. And I think that when he was, you know, you get such an insight into him by the language that he, I can't believe his speechwriters let this go through, but when he was talking about the LA fires and he said it was even affecting the wealthy and some of them lost their homes. Like, oh my God, wealthy people suffered too? Oh geez, how amazing.
Then it must be an actual crisis, right? Oy.
Oh my God, yes. And when he was describing, I mean, it is so offensive when he was describing a quote, a token response, it's not to the LA fires. Okay, not only just the people within the state, we're talking about, you know, the state firefighters, we're talking about people within, firefighters within LA and communities close to that. I have seen tons of footage, and any person has seen tons of footage of firefighters from Nevada, from New Mexico, from Utah, from Texas, from Washington, D.C. state. You know, I saw footage of choppers coming up from Mexico and Mexico National Guardsmen coming up to fight. Yeah. And these big planes that Canada sent down to scoop up water that could be dropped as part of the firefighting. I mean, what an insult. I mean, does he expect people to come back and fight fires when this is the sort of thing that's said? These are ordinary people who are giving up their time to help their fellow citizens. They're putting themselves at risk, not only from, you know, inhaling the all of the dust and the what you get when you're fighting fires, but actual physical danger, and I would say mental danger. 17 people have died so far, and they still haven't gotten all the cadaver dogs there through. There are going to be scenes of those firefighters are going to see that are just horrendous, and they are going to take it home with them, and they do it because they care about their fellow citizens, where this clown boy says, God, even the wealthy were affected.
It's too much. Politicizing human pain and tragedy in this way, vilifying first responders and emergency personnel for personal political gain is the most disgusting manifestation of performative politics I've seen in a while. And we've got more to come. Charles from Oconomowoc, you're up next. What do you have to say, sir?
Oh, Maggie, where do I begin? He's such a hateful individual. You know, his supporters will say he's going to bring us together. He's not. You have Republican politicians in North Carolina that came out right away and said that they were getting the help they needed from the Biden-Harris administration. And he's continuing to peddle that lie that they didn't get help. I don't know how quickly he thinks that they're able to go in and rebuild these areas that have been devastated by Mother Nature. I don't know what he thought he could have done as president to control the winds that helped the fires blaze in California. And the sad part about it, Maggie, is his supporters will believe that. You know, he.
Yeah, that's the difficult part, Charles. When he talks about colorblindness, this from the man whose real estate empire that he inherited from his father used to code rental applications and put a C on them when it was Black folks who were applying, right? Like, you mean that version of color blindness? Who himself withheld aid from California during the Camp Fire, which was the largest fire in California's history, whom I had a guest on this, on this very show who worked in the White House, who said Donald Trump withheld aid to California because it was a blue state. Here is the thing. The people that will be hurt and that are being hurt by this aren't just Democrats and women and gay folks. It will be Republicans. It will be MAGA supporters. They will pay a price alongside all the rest of us in the 95%. Jim from Brookfield, you are up next when we come back after these brief messages. So please stay on the horn. Mark from Prairie to Sac, you'll be after Jim. You can join this great conversation, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. I'll also touch on the executive orders that Trump promised in this morning's inaugural address and the threats that those might pose to you, your kids, your family, and others that you love. That's coming up next, right here on The Maggie Dawn Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Carry on. It's been a long time coming, but I know.
change gonna come.